digital learning that's dramatically different. Welcome to this TED Learning Podcast.
Hiya and welcome to the TED Learning Podcast. I'm Lou and you're also going to hear from my sister Jocelyn. We're here to chat to you about the things that inspire us during Black History Month.
The Windrush is, I suppose, the first moment in history that has been documented as a large number of West Indian people coming to the UK in a group. Yes, we had a presence here before, 100%, but I think it's been seen as quite a pivotal moment in history, in my opinion, because after the Second World War, this country was on its knees. It needed a lot of rebuilding. And because the West Indian Islands had an association with the UK through the Commonwealth, it was the thing of come to the UK, help us rebuild. I know from my days as a broadcaster, I interviewed Sam King, who was actually on the original Windrush ship when it came on that particular day when it docked at Tilbury in Essex. And he had actually been in the RAF. He was someone who'd come from Jamaica to England to help in the war effort, went back to Jamaica, realised, wow, this isn't my home anymore. I'm going to go back to England. His dad, he tells the story that his dad sold 10 cows to pay for his ticket to go on the Windrush ship.
Right.
It sailed for weeks. They finally got here and they arrived and realised, wow, this isn't really my home either. Mm. We've been invited to come to help in terms of, you know, sign up for the NHS, work on the tube, on the buses, construction. But actually, we don't feel as welcome as we thought we would. Mm. But we don't want to go back either. So what do we do? So I think that's why, as much as we, as Black people, we've had a presence in this country for longer than the Windrush, it will always be that kind of pinpoint in a timeline where I think it was decided that as a group of people, we're going to stay, make our homes here, contribute to society and community. And someone like Sam King then went on to be mayor in London. Yeah. So he really contributed, and many did in many other ways. But I think for me, what has been quite interesting in recent years, there is actually a Windrush Day in June. Mm-hmm. I think it's the 22nd of June. And it's taken a long time for that day to come where Windrush as a moment in history and as a community is being recognised. There's statues in London, there are books written about it, there are articles. As I said, I made a documentary about it years ago, but I feel sometimes that there is still that tension around it.
Yeah, and I think, so Windrush Day came off the back of the Windrush scandal. And it does feel like, even if the statue was being muted, because I haven't actually seen it in person, but the pictures look amazing.
Yeah, it's a man and a woman, isn't it?
And the child that has gone up at Waterloo. It does feel that was kind of pushed through on the back of the Windrush scandal. Mm-hmm. So I'm very pleased that both things are in place. But you do wonder the outcry, because when you read the book about the Windrush scandal by Amelia Gentleman, and you look at the detail in there about the stuff that was happening for years and how it wasn't really being reported. People were being deported after being here for 30 odd years and having no recollections of their time in Grenada, Jamaica, Barbados and others, and not really given a chance because their papers have been thrown away. Mm. And there's an argument for, well, if you're asked to come, then you just, you know, I'm here, this is my home. Right. And you may have then ended up in really low paid jobs where you never had the money to return. So you never really needed a passport. And I remember at the time when the scandal broke, I was working at a university and my colleagues at the time, who were all white, they were incredulous that people wouldn't have a passport or wouldn't understand that this could become an issue. And I had to school them a little bit in the fact of that my communities and the people I come from don't always have the opportunities to get the jobs where you get really great money and you travel all the time. And then not feeling that they belonged here or there. Mm. So I think it is really important that Windrush Day is there and the statue is there, and it's a chance for us. I mean, Black History happens 365 days a year, but it's a chance for us to reflect and remember. But it's also really important that we make sure that the legacy of those who have been mistreated, who weren't welcomed, you know, the signs about no Blacks, no Irish, no dogs, you know, we can't forget those times. They should drive us forward and give us strength and courage to move forward. And those who are struggling in terms of the the scandal and now being told that they don't belong. And some people even died in another, in their back in, say, Jamaica, still trying to fight the case that they shouldn't have been deported. You know, that those people aren't forgotten, that they're remembered and their legacy and what they gave to this country is remembered. Because again, many of them, and we saw from the documentary that was made, and it was on BBC One, that, you know, immediately overnight, they kind of lost their access to the NHS and being able to work. And often their employers or their doctor didn't want to say to them, you can't have treatment. But it was like this massive red flag. It was like they didn't exist anymore, even after all they had given. But on the flip side, I am the first person to want to celebrate what the Windrush generation brought to this country. And our, you know, our parents are part of that generation. But it's interesting looking at the history of how then the government kind of went, right, we're going to kind of stop this happening because they didn't expect as many people to come.
And what do you think, now when we reflect back with the powerful tool of hindsight, what do you think that we have taken from that Windrush generation and that we now use to our benefit? What's kind of that legacy that we have now, do you think?
I think certainly their strength and their courage. We see it in our parents, we see it in our friends and family, and how they kind of came together and supported each other. Mm. We had some family friends called Nola and Graves who we still remember so fondly. And they were such a support to mum and mum and dad were a support to them. And we've heard stories of some people who have then saved up and gone back to the Caribbean and it's worked out well. Mm. We've also heard other stories of people going back in their later years and really struggling because they've become so used to the UK. So I think it's really important to celebrate and reflect on their heritage and culture and everything they gave. But I sometimes have this feeling of what would have happened if they hadn't have all left their Caribbean countries and had stayed there and built them, because the Caribbean is beautiful. I was in Barbados in April and I had a fantastic time. But I also see some of the deprivations and some of the things that need to be worked on. And I know the government and the president there, because they're now Republic, are now working on those things. But what would have happened if mum and dad's generation
had stayed
and kept building the country? Where would those countries right across the Caribbean be now? They're doing well, but what could they have given their own countries? And how would have the UK have then dealt with its problem of having staff shortages for the trains and the underground and the buses and the nurses? I mean, the NHS benefited so much from, you know, black people, black nurses coming and working from the Caribbean and other countries. Yet there are still issues with not enough people of colour, and certainly black Caribbeans and black Africans being in key managerial and leadership roles to support the NHS.
I mean, can you imagine this country if the Windrush ship hadn't come?
I know, I try to.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So you think about it, fashion, in terms of the fashion and the style that our community brought. You think about food and all the kind of different ingredients and food and influences. You think about music. You remember, and you get that old Pathé footage of the Windrush when it docked, and it's Lord Kitchener singing London is the place for me. Mm. And he's singing that kind of song, and that's kind of Calypso. That wouldn't have come. And then everything after that, you think about even like some of our phrases or words that we use, that wouldn't be here. Like you say, the contribution in terms of work. And I mean, I've interviewed in the past West Indian nurses who came and, you know, that was their reason to train and come here. Some had trained back in the West Indies and had to retrain again here for it to be recognised so that they could work, but they did it. You know, that wouldn't, so there's so much that, you're right, I think about what the West Indies would have been like if our generation had stayed. But also think about what this country would have been like if we didn't come. Mm. It's such a funny thing to think about, but it really helps us to, and hopefully as a wider society, to appreciate the contribution and the sacrifices that those individuals make. You only have to think about the story by Andrea Levy in Small Island to really understand the thing of you couldn't find your own home, you couldn't buy your own home, you had to live with others, you know, finding jobs were difficult, all that kind of thing. It really makes you appreciate how much things have changed and how things have moved on, but equally how much we've contributed, I think.
And it really warmed my heart when our nephew Samuel, when he was quite young, he had to do like a show and tell at school, and he wanted to take in things from his Caribbean heritage. And he took in like that little black and gold scroll, which was in a lot of Caribbean homes, and it had different parts of the Barbados on it. Yeah. But he was so proud to take that into school and tell everyone where his Nana comes from and how she came here young, and his little essay that he wrote. I must remind him when I see him next, but you know, that whole thing of that it being so important to his culture and his heritage, and feeling really proud of it, and he wanted to take it into his school and share it with everybody. And that's what we need, to keep the young people and to keep generations, successive generations, connected to the work. So not only the tough times, but the effort and the resilience and the joy that Black Caribbeans and Black Africans have brought to the UK. I think that's so important. And that continued contribution, whether, as you say, it's through music, it's, you know, through music, dance, film, food,
fashion,
you know, it's, you know, the country is richer and happier for it. You know, at the end of the first Paddington film, and the guys are playing the music at the end, and it's
like Calypso.
A nice part of the credits, actually, that whole area, Notting Hill.
Yeah.
And we know that the some of the struggles that the mangrove had, but then at the same time, there's still that connection to the Caribbean community in Notting Hill. I think that's really important.
That's all from us. You can search the TED Learning podcast or go to the website tedlearning.co.uk.